Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. I want to talk to you about the corruption of the Holy Scriptures. And I don't mean that the Holy Scriptures are corrupted. I mean the corrupt teaching of the Holy Scriptures. And how I've talked many times about how this was done by the Talmud people, by the Pharisees. Pharisees came along and they said, hey, you know, we understand what the law says and the prophet says, but it doesn't really mean what he says. It means something else. Jesus Christ confronts it head on. Luke chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15. I wanted to delve into that a little bit deeper. And I wanted to talk about how that applies today. And it's very specific, and it's in writing. The Talmud people don't like the Greek scriptures. They hate the Word of God. They hate Jesus Christ. They hated the laws of Moses, and they still do. That's why they have oral traditions over them. And I know the church doesn't believe me on this, so I'm going to use the words of the Talmud people themselves. And we're going to start by going to the Jerusalem Post. It's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, when the Jews agree with Fritz Berger, you guys ought to pay attention. When the Jews agree with Fritz Berger, you ought to pay attention. And you say, Fritz, you're making this up. No, even they agree with me. Even they know that it says exactly what I say it says. And you got all these Christians out there saying, oh, no, you know, the Bible's not anti-Semitic. The Bible's not this. The Bible's not that. First of all, the term anti-Semitic should be written on a piece of toilet paper and used appropriately. It should just be flushed. It's not a legitimate term. And people have created, the Talmud people, have created the unforgivable sin. It's the ultimate sin, anti-Semitism. And all the world revolves around that. Well, how convenient is that? How convenient is that if that's the highest rule on all the planet? You can be anything you want, any kind of low-life cretin, but you can't be anti-Semitic. It's not even a Bible word. And I've said many times, and I've proven it to you, that what the Holy Scriptures say is, according to the Talmud people, anti-Semitic. Well, whose side are you going to come down on? Whose side are you going to fall out on? Are you loyal to Jesus Christ or to the Antichrist? I'm not going to make this easy. Not going to make this easy. There is no third path. There's no way to get along. James 4:4, you want to be friends with the world, you make yourself at enmity with God, a deep-seated hatred even unto death. That goes right back to Genesis 3:15. God says, I'm going to put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Who's the seed of the serpent? Jesus Christ identified them. He says, you brood of vipers. It's the same thing as saying you're the seed of the serpent. You want more? Be more explicit? Go read John chapter 8. But we've talked about this before. So here we go. And I've said before, Jesus Christ warned. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. What's that? What's the leaven of the Pharisees? It's when they interpret the Holy Scriptures according to their oral traditions. All right, here's an article. Like I said, Jerusalem Post, it's the gift that keeps on giving. I'll put a link in the description. It's a title of an article. This article is from 2019, fairly recent, 3 years ago. No holds barred. Is the New Testament anti-Semitic? This is what the Jerusalem Post is asking. It's written by Shmuley Boteach. Yet in our time, evangelical Christians have emerged as the foremost allies of the Jewish people in general and the state of Israel in particular. Oh, well, what a wonderful conversation. The Jews are very clear. Evangelicals are the foremost allies of the Jewish people in general and the state of Israel in particular. Well, who's right? Is Fritz Bergen right? Or are the Talmud people and evangelical Christians right? I'll report, you decide. How's that? All right, great article. Again, I'll put the link up. This guy, he's talking about things. I just wanted to highlight a few things he says. I mean, obviously, the scriptures that I quote are highly offensive to the Jews. Highly offensive. Now, Jesus Christ addressed us. He said, look, blessed is he who's not offended by me. You're blessed if I don't offend you. He said that to John the Baptist. He said that to his disciples. He said that to the Pharisees. He said, I'm the rock. I'm the stone of stumbling. I'm the rock of offense. He says to his followers, he says, hey, if you eat my you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You think he was trying to go out of his way to be a kinder, gentler Jesus and not offend people? I don't think so. I think he's very happy to be offensive because it's not his job to kowtow to us and make himself acceptable to us. It's the other way around. And he's this way to make it very, very clear. Not my job to be inoffensive to you guys. That's not my job. It's your job to be inoffensive to me. And you need to be on my side and with my word. And the church has tried to rebrand Jesus Christ. Evangelical Christians have rebranded Jesus Christ in the Word of God. They've overlaid their traditions over the Word of God. They essentially have denied Jesus Christ and denied the Word of God. They're ashamed of Jesus Christ. And they're friends with the world. This article is proof of that. In our time, Christian evangelicals have emerged as the foremost allies of the Jewish people in general and the state of Israel in particular. How can this be? The author says. How can this be? Listen to me. Listen carefully. Because Christians and Catholics today are reinterpreting Scripture away from the literal interpretation of Jews as the enemies of Christ. Okay, let me say that again. They are reinterpreting Scripture. Reinterpreting Scripture. This is exactly what the Talmud people did with the Law and the Prophets. They reinterpreted the Law and the Prophets. Matthew chapter 15. Got to read it, 1 through 9. They're going even further in stating that one can only understand Jesus through the lens of his Jewishness. That's an oral tradition, man. You're making that stuff up. The father of Jesus Christ was not a Jew. Come on, people. The father of Jesus Christ was not a Jew. Let's be crystal clear about that. Lineage is patriarchal. There's no such thing as a matriarchal lineage according to the Holy Scriptures, yet the Talmud people claim it's matriarchal. Inversion. Descent in the Bible is only through the Father. All right. So this reinterpretation was used to bolster this whole idea about that Jesus is somehow, you know, just part and parcel of the whole Jewish identity. I don't think so. That's the tradition of man. All right, moving on. Talks about there's a global movement on the part of our Christian brothers just discover the Jewishness of Jesus. And we in the Jewish community should be leading the way. Okay, Christian brothers, excuse me. We've talked a lot about the Antichrist. Who's the Antichrist? He who rejects the Father and the Son. What do you mean Christian brothers? If they're Christian brothers, they're of the wrong father. There's a real problem there. There are no Christian brothers with the people, the followers of the Talmud, unless you consider yourself Judeo-Christian and you deny the words of Jesus Christ. All right, he goes on. We must state these truths and defend our people, even among our closest friends, as Christians are today, even when those ideals are cradled in their most sacred books. Okay, right here they say, anti-Semitic ideas are cradled in the heart of the Greek scriptures, what most people call the New Testament. It's unavoidable. Our Christian brothers and sisters, he says. We're not your brothers and sisters, unless you're a Judeo-Christian. But your father's either God Almighty or it's Satan. There's no two ways about it. Our Christian brothers and sisters are beginning to address anti-Semitism attitudes in verses that are part of the New Testament. Okay, this is the Jews saying this. This is the Talmud people saying this. Stop apologizing. Stop apologizing for the words of Jesus Christ. This is the sin of the church. Ashamed of what Jesus Christ said. Offended by what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ tells John the Baptist, blessed are those who are not offended by me. So then he goes on, he talks about this, he's a Christian man, supposedly. He's a Judeo-Christian, in my mind. And so this guy named Norman Beck, he lists about 450 examples of explicitly anti-Semitic verses throughout the Synoptic Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles. All right? So here's a Christian guy, lists 450 examples of explicitly anti-Semitic verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. I am not going to apologize for what the Spirit of Jesus Christ has inspired. Judeo-Christians will, and they'll grovel before the religion that meets the definition of the Antichrist. Ashamed of Jesus Christ, ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. So here we go. I'm going to quote you. So I report, you decide. Quote, Jews are referred to as vipers and poisonous snakes, hard-hearted and hypocrites, thieves and robbers, and the blind guiding the blind. We are told that they reject the commandments, reject God's purposes, plotted on multiple occasions to kill Jesus, which the New Testament says they eventually did. The gospel according to John makes these assertions. God's word and God's love are not with the Jews. None of the Jews do what is written in the Torah. They know neither Jesus nor the Father, and they are descendants of their own father, who is not God but Satan. Okay, that's in the words of the Jews. If you can't understand what the scripture says, the Jews can. The Torah people can. Not the Torah people. The Talmud people can. And they're telling you right there. Right there in a nutshell. Yeah, these people agree with me. The Talmud people agree with me. The Talmud people agree with Fritz Bergeron on the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Talmud followers and the Talmud. I'm not misinterpreting it. The Talmud people say the same thing. Now, they hate that. They hate Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ said these things. And if you're a Judeo-Christian and you apologize to the Jews, man, where's your fear of Jesus Christ? We ought to fear Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. All right. The Romans are shown repeatedly in the New Testament as trying to save Jesus and his followers, notably Paul. And in the book of Acts, the Jews stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. They know exactly what the book of Acts says. They know what it says. They say it says what I've been telling you guys it says. So the question for the church is, who are you loyal to? Who are you going to be loyal to, Jesus Christ or the Antichrist? Here's another guy, Jewish guy, Talmud guy, Jonah Daniel Goldhagen. Quote, the anti-Semitism of the Christian Bible is not incidental, but is constitutive of the story. The Christian Bible presents its Christian faithful with a relentless and withering assault on Jews and Judaism, presented as the ontological enemy of Jesus and therefore of goodness. The scholar William Nichols puts it more plainly, quote, no uncritical reader of the New Testament could easily come away with anything but the most negative opinion of the Jews. Church, you're going to have to deal with this. And I don't care which side you go. You go to the left, you go to the right. Okay, you go be loyal to those that reject Jesus Christ, or you're going to be loyal to the words of Jesus Christ. But if you're making up oral traditions and precepts of men that sideline the Word of God in order to be friends with the world, oh, boy, I don't want to be in that position. I don't want the master to show up and say, hey, Fritz, you were ashamed of me and my words. Yeah, I'm ashamed of you now. I don't know who you are. Go away from me. Don't want that to be in my position. I'd rather be fiercely loyal to every word of Jesus Christ than compromise one syllable with those that have rejected Jesus Christ. Those who deny the Father and the Son. Those who deny that the Messiah has already come in the flesh. That's the definition of the Antichrist. This article makes my whole argument for me. Here's another quote. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate tries repeatedly to have Jesus spared, but the Jewish crowds beg for his execution. True statement. How is it that the Talmud people know what the Holy Scriptures say and the Christian church doesn't? Or the Judeo-Christian church, should I say? All right, I'm going to go on. This is rich. Jesus repeatedly refers to the historical Jewish crimes of killing divine messengers such as Zechariah. And Luke, Matthew, and John each mention a separate Jewish attempt at Jesus' life even before the crucifixion. The most damning target of the Jewish prophet-killing obsession isn't even Jesus, it's Paul. While the Jews try to kill Jesus no more than four times, they try to kill Paul no less than nine in Damascus, Jerusalem, Iconium, Lystra, Thessalonica, Corinth, twice again in Jerusalem, and on the road from Caesarea. Romans, of course, were there to save him. Don't believe Fritz Berger, believe the Talmud people. I'm not misrepresenting the Holy Scriptures. I'm not misrepresenting the Greek Scriptures. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, all the way up through the Revelation. I'm not misrepresenting them. The Talmud people will tell you this. Those aside, the New Testament depicts the Jews killing Stephen, approving Herod's killing of James, and instigating plots to kill Lazarus and Peter. As bad as what the New Testament says about the Jews is what it has to say about Judaism, which is depicted throughout the Old as old and defunct and in need of replacement. Absolutely. Again, true statement. Quote, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells the Jews, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, the Jews. This is the guy writing. This is the Talmud guy writing. And given to a people that will produce the fruit, its fruits. John takes the metaphor terrifyingly further, calling the Jewish people a fruitless tree waiting to be axed, cut down, and thrown into the fire. All right. Again, the Talmud people witness against themselves. They said this is what the Holy Scriptures say. Now, they reject the Holy Scriptures. They reject what the Spirit of Jesus Christ has inspired. If you're a Christian, which side are you coming down on this? You want to be friends with the world? You want to be one with the Antichrist? You want to be one with the false wife? You want to be one with the false wife? This is why Jesus warns in the Revelation, come out of her midst, man. Come out of her. Come out of that nonsense. That's why Jesus Christ warned against the leaven of the Pharisees. This is exactly what the Pharisees did back then. They subverted the Word of God, and we're going to get into this. Listen to this. Here's the crux of it. In Judaism, the Torah, or written law, cannot exist without the Talmud, the oral law. Boom, right there. That's the leaven of the Pharisees right there. It's how you interpret it. Yeah, we got what it says, but we're going to interpret it differently. That's the whole point of Judaism. That's a Talmudic idea. Must be rejected by it was rejected by Jesus. Don't you want to be like Jesus? Ultimately, the question of whether the New Testament is or is not anti-Semitic is itself a game of interpretation. But that fact does not liberate modern Christians from their responsibility to recognize and theologically disarm those parts of the Christian Bible that, either directly or negatively, look negatively upon the Jews. Excuse me, I have no responsibility to do that whatsoever. I have absolutely no responsibility at all to theologically disarm the Holy Scriptures. That's an Antichrist idea. And I don't care what the Talmud people say. I don't care. I'm trying to get through to the church. I'm trying to get through to the evangelical. It is not our job to theologically disarm the Holy Scriptures. That's an Antichrist idea. That directly or by implication look negatively. Why is that why negatively upon the Jews? Why is that the overarching goal? Because they worship themselves. And the evangelical church has gone down that road to worship them as well. Ain't right. All right. I'm going to close out this article. The Jewish community should work with our Christian brothers. They're not our brothers unless you're a Judeo-Christian. God help you if you are. To ensure that any anti-Semitic verses in one of the most widely read Bibles on earth be formally repudiated or reinterpreted clearly, securely, and anew. There you go. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. That's the leaven of the Pharisees right there. I'm going to read that again. The Jewish community should work with our Christian brothers to ensure that the anti-Semitic verses in one of the most widely read Bibles be formally repudiated and be reinterpreted clearly, securely, and anew. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. That's the Antichrist spirit. And the evangelical church has been led down there. So many, you go out there and read about anti-Semitism in the New Testament. You've got all these pastors and Christians bending over backwards to say that the scriptures mean something than other what they say. And the Talmud people themselves says right here, this is what it says. So they're trying to get the church to either repudiate those verses or reinterpret them. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. That's the precepts and doctrines of men. That's why I harp on Matthew chapter 15. All right, I'm gonna give a quick one from another guy, Gareth Lloyd Jones, Encountering the New Testament. Eliezer Berkowitz, for example, claims that Christianity's New Testament has been the most dangerous anti-Semitic tract in history. Its hatred, charges, diatribes against the Jews and the Pharisees have poisoned the hearts and minds of millions of Christians. No, it hasn't. It's enlightened the hearts and minds of millions of Christians. It's freedom. It's liberty. The Holy Scriptures are liberty. If you're against the words of Jesus Christ, if you're against the God-inspired Holy Scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, James, 1, 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, Hebrews, Jude, the Revelation, you fight against Jesus Christ. All right, so here they go. Now they tie into Hitler. Everything's about Hitler. They love Hitler. If you recall your history of, say, for example, Cuba, I have a PhD in history, and I wrote my doctoral dissertation on Cuba. Cuba's always needed an external enemy to justify their repression. So they like to tie everything to Hitler. So they're saying without the New Testament, Hitler's Mein Kampf could never have been written. But Berkowitz, an Orthodox Jew, is supported by the eminent Reformed theologian Samuel Sandmel. In the last book he wrote, Anti-Semitism in the New Testament, 1978, he concluded that, quote, it is simply not correct to exempt the New Testament from anti-Semitism and to allocate it to later periods of history. It must be said that innumerable Christians have purged themselves of anti-Semitism, but expression is to be found in Christian scripture for all to read. All right? Hello, embrace it. Don't flee from it. Since when is anti-Semitism the highest, it's like the greatest law in the world? Anti-Semitism is not the greatest commandment. Jesus Christ didn't say that. That's to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, all their mind, and all their soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love God? Well, you better cling to the words of Jesus Christ. Again, anti-Semitism is a garbage word. You need to stop using it. It's not a legitimate term. It's not a legitimate term. It's not a legitimate goal. It's not something that you should elevate above the words of Jesus Christ. Are you going to bow the knee to those that rejected Jesus Christ, or are you going to embrace the words of Jesus Christ? Evangelical, that's your challenge. It's the leaven of the Pharisees to reinterpret the Word of God in order to make it serve those who've rejected Jesus Christ. He goes on, he says there's a connection between the Auschwitz and the Gospels. And I'll go back to Jesus, Matthew 11, verse 6, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And again, I've said this before, Jesus Christ does not position himself to be inoffensive to the natural mind or the Christian mind. He does not do that. Well, who is he to try to make himself pleasing to you? That's why he says, blessed are those that are not offended by me. All right, keep going. If some aspects of New Testament teaching can be justifiably be repudiated in the sense of their not being regarded as binding on contemporary Christians, cannot the same principle be applied to passages which have proved injurious to Jews for almost two millennia? Why should we do that? Why should we repudiate the Holy Scriptures? Why should we repute literally the words of Jesus Christ? Not going to do it. That's a betrayal. That's Judas Iscariot. You go down that road, evangelical, you're following the road. You're going right down the road with Judas Iscariot. Called by God, chosen by God, called and chosen by Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. He sells out to the Talmud people. He sells out to the Talmud people. He was offended by Jesus Christ. Evangelical, stop being offended by Jesus Christ. And all these Antichrist people, this Antichrist religion, this Antichrist spirit wants you to repudiate the words of Jesus Christ. This article makes it explicit. Both these articles make it explicit. So as I was saying, fine, don't believe me. Believe the Talmud people when they tell you that the Holy Scriptures offend them greatly and laugh at them, mock them. Don't bow the knee to them. Don't elevate their man-made traditions, their selfish man-made traditions over Jesus Christ. Fritz Bergen. BloodandFaith.com. We'll be back with you soon.